Peace to the saints. Today's topic I was inspired to review because of a lot of the folks calling in recently. I found that the ability to deal with stress and anxiety is one that needs to be taught. And so I'm speaking on this critical topic because you're going to encounter these challenges all the time. Firstly, we must understand the difference between stress and anxiety, and then we will review a couple methods that you can use to manage these two challenges that accompany life, no matter where you live in the world, no matter what level at which you live. That is, if you're poor, wealthy, etc. I want to acknowledge Mitchell comes in via Cash App, writes peace to the saints, as does Jamal comes in with tuition. I would also like to acknowledge one of the saints who was thoughtful enough to come in offline. He came in via PayPal with the baller alert. That is Thaddeus. Now let's go ahead and get to this game. Oh, and of course, if you have any thoughts, questions, comments in particular, feel free to send them in via PayPal, Cash App, or Super Chat as we go. Number one, the greater topic here is how to deal with stress. Let me first differentiate stress from anxiety, and we will first deal with stress. Now, stress is something that might make you feel as though you're facing a challenge. Stress is when you're experiencing stagnation that bothers you. Stress is essentially fear, and fear is a shape-shifter. Appears to you in many different forms. You might feel stressed about a test you have coming up. That's not stress. That's fear that you're going to underperform. You might feel stress when you have to go talk to a woman. That's not stress. That's fear that she's going to shut you down. Stress is essentially fear, the unresolved emotion of fear. Separately, anxiety is something that might not necessarily root from a specific problem or a specific stimulus. Anxiety is an uneasy feeling that sticks with you that actually has deeper roots than a single problem. As a result of stress being more straightforward, let us start with stress. As I said, stress is a shapeshifter. It is essentially fear in essence. It may come in a form of a challenge. It may feel like stagnation. You're not moving forward. All the same, these are negative feelings that you are not making progress. That's what it comes down to, a negative feeling that you are not making progress. The number one challenge that you're going to experience that is stress is when you ignore problems. You ever leave something undone? Something that nags at you and you know you need to get it done, but you've been avoiding it, pretending it doesn't exist or pretending it won't hurt you. Avoiding or ignoring problems is going to cause you stress because even though you've closed your eyes to the problem, it's still there. That's number one. Then number two is failure to make exciting plans, which is to say plans that are going to cause you to do something and move forward. So the first one is ignoring real problems that exist. The second one is not making plans that make you move forward, which is to say stagnation. You're standing in one place. That is stressful, causes unhappiness. Now, where do these two failings root from? The failing of ignoring problems and the other failing of not making exciting plans that you execute to move forward. Number one is performance anxiety. Performance anxiety is a term that refers to the psychological disposition wherein you do nothing or you procrastinate, which is to delay because you don't think that you're going to achieve the desired outcome. Performance anxiety, you have anxiousness about how you will perform. You stop and fail to talk to that girl because you're anxious about how you will perform, the outcome. You avoid going to take your driver's test because you are anxious about the result of the driver's test or how you will do. That's performance anxiety. Here's the second one. This one is much deeper. Lack of feeling deserving. This relates to that second failure, the failure to make exciting plans, plans that move you to the next level, plans that advance your career, plans that advance your wealth and your relationships, plans that are exciting, plans that are worthy of a great man or woman. That is the lack of feeling that you deserve good things. It might sound basic. You might say, Marquette, I think I deserve good things. Do you? Do you really believe that every single day should be a happy day for you? Do you really believe that you should have better things than other people? You see, the challenge today is that a lot of you have been taught about equality. And in these preachings about equality, equalness, sameness, you believe you need to be on an equal plane. Well, you'll never get the great things in life if you truly believe in equality. You must fundamentally believe in hierarchy if you expect to advance beyond your peers. If you expect to have better things than the average person has, you fundamentally have to believe in equality, that you are better at something than someone else, or you work harder than others, or that for some reason you deserve something greater. And that is a challenging fundamental belief that most people are struggling to embrace. And undoubtedly for me, I believe that, yes, I do deserve better things than people who have low morals and don't engage in the regular behaviors that help them advance, whether it's good behaviors in health, diet, exercise, business, what have you. So you have to fundamentally believe that you deserve. The driving force of failing to make that exciting plan and failing to execute it and therefore experiencing stagnation, and that stagnation being the root of stress, that all comes from not believing in yourself and not believing in hierarchy, that you should be above someone in the hierarchy. When you experience stress, what you have to do is exercise a process on yourself. It is true that a neurosurgeon cannot do brain surgery on themselves. That is true. But that does not mean that a mechanic cannot fix his own car. A mechanic can fix his own car, though he might not be able to service the car entirely independently. All the same, if you're a mechanic and the car is your brain or your emotions, you should be able to do a fix-up to get you back on the road. You must enact this fix-up of your emotions and your mindset when you start to feel stress come upon yourself. You don't want to wait until you're in the dumps and you're depressed. You want to address it when it is mere stress. When I start to feel stress, I ask myself the following questions. Number one, what would I feel, think, say, or do if I was not scared? What would I feel, think, say, or do if I was not scared? You might say, Marquette, what do those questions have to do with stress? Well, as I pointed out earlier, the root of stress is fear. You're scared of something. You're scared someone won't like you. You're scared about how your parents might react to a certain piece of information, maybe your failing report card. You're scared about how a girl might receive you if you approach her. You're scared about not being able to pay your bills at the end of the month. And you're reacting to this fear, and that is causing you to have the experience of stress. To start stepping out of that experience so that you might think clearly and feel the good emotions necessary to move forward, you should ask yourself the following questions. What would I do if I did not feel, think, or excuse me, what would I feel, think, say, or do if I wasn't scared? And then when you start enacting those things, feeling good, thinking without fear, speaking confidence, and taking the actions of a fearless lunatic, that will begin the healing process and also the corrective process that addresses the roots that are actually causing your stress. But we do have this sweatshirt available. It is linked in the description. And you know, the funny thing that you guys really need to think about in terms of stress and the way this Western culture works, consider the fact that when the personal computer was invented and made available to average consumers, meaning everyday persons like you and I, The idea was that human beings would have more free time because they would be so much more efficient in achieving their work outcomes. So they'd have to work fewer hours, less than 8 hours a day. Further, when you look at all of the innovations that we've experienced as human beings, my grandmother had to wash clothes on what's called a washboard, where you basically scrub the clothing against an abrasive surface. And she had to wash all of the dishes by hand, which took significant amounts of time. Now you can automate the washing of the dishes. You can automate the cooking of the food. You can even Uber Eats the food. You can automate the cleaning of the clothes. And then you also have personal computers, which means that human beings have a lot more time than they've had previously. They have a lot more ease. They have a lot more peace. So then you would ask yourself, why is it that the suicide rate among humankind in the West is higher now than it was in the past with our lives being easier? Well, the truth is that, sadly, our free time has not benefited us because most of us live without goals. And to live without goals is to be lost. And to be lost wandering with so much spare time, one, we tend to get into trouble. But two, most importantly, our life feels like it has no meaning because so few of us have any form of religion or significant spirituality. Yet we have all this free time, no greater purpose. So we spend it at happy hour. We spend it drinking. We spend it eating rich foods and doing foolish things. And so all this extra free time and not working has actually not benefited us as much as we thought it would as human beings. And then further, you have more time to think and you have more boredom. You know, a lot of people are bored. Notice a lot of women are bored. And those are the things that actually cause us to run our minds in circles and creates unpleasant feeling, which is why I'm always talking to you guys about having a goal in the area of health, wealth, and relationships. And then when you have your goals, you're able to have something that gives your life meaning in the absence of maybe spirituality and religion. Further, we bring you into the SASM because it turns out that you have to have community. So many people are isolated and they spend so much time on their computer box, which is why when we have the conference, we come in person. Someone said, hey, why don't you live stream it for the people who have anxiety? I said, I'm not live streaming it specifically for the people who have anxiety because I want them to show up in person and behave like a normal human being and practice not having anxiety, because life is about living, not watching. If you're on the live stream, you're watching life. You are not living life. That's why the conference is face-to-face. Carrying on. Understand this, that fear is usually unidentified and unresolved emotions and challenges. Unidentified. If you're feeling stress, that means you have a fear that you might not have identified. Something is bothering you and you've yet to put a finger on it to specifically identify what it is. And then from there, you can start building out the specific action steps you have to take to eradicate that fear from your life. But the challenge is this. We have all this spare time. We lie and say we don't have time to do basic things like exercise. Yet we have all this spare time. And then we don't self-reflect. If you're a member at patreon.com/thesaintinthecenter, there's a video I did recently on how I do my nightly self-reflection. It's a critical piece because if you've done self-reflection a couple days in a row and you read back through your notes and you find that there is something consistently there, that is letting you know that something is bothering you. Something is nagging at your peace. It is something that you must address instead of ignore. And let me let you guys in on a clue. Do not ever think with someone else's brain. Something that might bother me might not bother you, and vice versa, which is why you take that nightly time out to free associate, let your mind wander, record all that passes through your mind, record the reflections of the day, read through it, see what was there, the good and the challenging and the fearful, and then you begin to address the fear and pursue the goals. And that is what moves you forward. Because if you do not identify the unidentified source of your stress, then you'll just be bothered and not know why you're so tense, not know why you can't sleep. And what's worse, when you fail to identify it, it feels bigger than it is. You ever experience that when you have a problem that's actually relatively small, but you haven't taken out the time to just write out that list of like, hey, these are the five things that are bothering me. And then you realize, damn, now that I've written it down, it seems a little bit petty. And now that I've written it down, like I can actually take some actions to get to work on this and solve this. Sometimes it's just really small things that you have to deal with. For example, my mother. One day I went to her place and she kept getting up to turn the channel on the television. I said, why don't you use the remote? She said, I don't have a remote. I can't find it. I say, have you looked for it? She says, I've looked very thoroughly. It can't be here. It's somewhere else. I say, okay, well, how do you feel having to get up every time you want to change the channel? She says, it's annoying. I said, well, why don't you just order another remote? She says, I don't know how. I took out 10 minutes. I identified the specific remote to her television. I ordered one. It came in 2 days on Prime. I came back 2 days later, programmed it for her. And she said, I've been feeling so much better since you did that. Well, of course, Mom, you watch a lot of television. 8 hours of your day is on television. Hence, not having a television remote is a major issue in your life. If it was my life, it would be irrelevant. It might even take me 4 months to find out I don't have the remote because I never use the remote because I don't watch television. But in her life, that's a major problem, which she had A, not really identified rightly, and B, not taking any action to solve. But you'll never solve a problem that you've not identified. That is why the nightly reflection is critical, making sure that it's written out and then reviewing it and then taking some steps. But you cannot leave it unidentified and unresolved. Those are the things that nag at you, stealing away your peace bit by bit. Now that you're aware, you can take steps. Once you've identified what the fear is, the next piece, depending on the size of the fear, is to make a decision to go forward. You know, some things like a television remote, you know, that's easy to decide to go forward once you realize that that was nagging at your peace. There are other things that might be greater, and it takes a little more oomph to decide that you're going to go forward. But you must make that decision and go forward like a fearless lunatic. Because here's the key. You might think that your happiness depends on success. That's actually not true at all. Your happiness does not depend on you succeeding. Your happiness merely is based on you trying. See, you didn't know that. I promise you, if you got into boxing and you trained for a fight, and you went and fought your best fight and you did not win the fight, you would feel great about yourself because you gave it everything that you had. As far as you are concerned, you are a winner because you went as far as you could have gone. Trying is actually the whole ball game. What happens is you experience stagnation in life when you're not trying anything. You're just living life the same thoughtlessly, doing nothing new, doing nothing challenging. Trying is what makes us feel good. Trying can be a challenge, and that's a challenge that feels good. That's the kind of challenge we like. It makes life exciting. It gives you emotional variation. If you don't have challenge, you will not have emotional variation, and your emotion will be like this, flatlined, and it will eventually go down because what human beings do not like is repetitive things. Even if you like a movie, you don't like watching the same movie every single day. Human beings require emotional variation, and certain types of human beings require more emotional variation. You ever meet a woman who seems like she likes to argue? She does. She needs the emotional variation, the stimulation. She needs to feel alive. There'd be better, more positive ways for her to feel alive than arguing, but hey, sometimes we're conditioned based on our upbringing, and we've yet to reprogram. Sir Dre sends intuition. Appreciate it. Brandon writes, tuition for the knowledge. Peace to the saints. Peace to the saints. Dedrick writes, hey, Quet, we got to get a player story from your OG, Kevin Cox. He's now deceased. I'd have to tell one on his behalf. I could even have his younger brother tell one, of which there are many, and they're quite crazy. Brandon writes, thoughts on the word accountability. It's a word that's overused and it's overused, but it's rarely acted upon. You see, people are rarely actually accountable. It takes one who is very detail-oriented and disciplined. There are not many who are disciplined. There are some who are detail-oriented, but to have those two characteristics together requires you to be a bit of a robot. And human beings are more like animals than robots. And your goal should be to train yourself to be more robotic so that you may exercise discipline and outperform the average person so that you may have greater things than they have. Jeremy writes, purchased the black box in 2021. Truly motivational from one place to another place. You elevated. You have taught me so much in life. Thank you. Peace. I appreciate that, Jeremy. Thank you for sharing that. For those who also might be seeking some inspiration, you can get The Black Box on Amazon.com. Just type in The Black Box, Marquette Devon Burton. You can also find a low-cost ebook on Marquettism.com. Baller alert. King Supreme writes, what should you do if you are stressed by someone you love and have kids with? And will be in a worse off position if you leave, but being with them is causing your life to be difficult since you have to carry the weight of them not being focused in life. I was waiting on this one. I knew someone would bring it up. Number one, and this is a key not only to stress management, but this is actually a key to life itself. Never choose between false choices. Never choose between false choices. What I mean by that is it may appear that there are two choices when there might be three or four choices. And always remember to get creative. Here's an example of what I mean with the first piece of don't choose between false choices. It may currently appear that you have two choices. Choice one is stay in the same situation with your spouse who is unruly and poorly behaved. And the other choice is to get out of Dodge, leave her and the kids, say, screw both of you. Never want to see you again. I'm starting a new family. Those are the two choices that seem most apparent. There could be a third choice of get an au pair, you know, a woman who lives in and helps with the load that your wife might be experiencing, makes life easier. Or it could be get a second wife. Or it could be move out and stay in the neighborhood and continue participating fully in your kids and wife's life, but you have a separate place where you can go and retreat to. You might even stay married, but you just have this second apartment. Or you might divorce and have this second apartment in the same neighborhood. There are a lot of different options and arrangements that you can make when you're creative and when you're willing to do something different based on what you need, not based on what the society says is good or acceptable. So that's number one. Don't choose between false choices. Number two, do not stay in a situation in which you are dying. This might be an annoyance, or it might be something that's actually killing you. And yes, you can die from stress. Yes, stress can degrade you so badly that it steals your sleep from you. It steals your peace from you. It steals your happiness from you. And if you don't have those things, then what is left? It is not worth going on as a zombie. So if you find that this arrangement you're currently in is taking too much from you, then you must make a change. And let me advise you, in the words of Master Sun Tzu, haste can be folly, but delay is never wise. So if there's a bad situation, be the first to run out of it like it's a burning building. You see, I trust that even your children will be better off with parents who are not at one another's throats. It is good to have a father in the house. It is not good to have a rageful father in the house. It is great to have a mother in the house. It is unpleasant to have a stressed out mother in the house. So I do advise you to make some changes, but let us also consider the option that your wife or girlfriend or baby mama, whatever title she goes under, may be open to education, learning, and growth. She might be, and she might not be, but that is something for you to figure out and definitely give a shot at. But by now, there are things that you know, and act based on what you know. Don't doubt yourself. I want to encourage all of you not to over-rely on experts, because let me let you know something funny. Sometimes they don't know anything better than you know. And sometimes they're not living any better than you live. I have a video exclusive for the members. It is, I think it's entitled, Therapy Will Not Help You. And I'm not saying therapy won't help you, but I am giving a story of a gorgeous young lady I know personally who is a therapist and is also seeing a therapist and also is not able to take personal responsibility in her current life. So to me, it's astounding that she could teach anyone else to take personal responsibility. And not until you do take personal responsibility will you enjoy the fruits that come from maturity and wisdom. Thank you for that question, Saint. I trust many have benefited from it. Kevin writes, peace to the saints sending tuition. Truly appreciate it. Good to see you again, Kevin. Shout out to all the athletes within the SASN. Now, let me give you all a few more notes on the management of stress. Number one, and this is really important. If you were tuned in yesterday, I hope you took observation of this. And I also, just quick note, the male and female brains are different. In as much as the male and female brains are different, then you're going to know. So we have someone who's funny. I've always told you guys that I do have a sense of humor and I do like a joke, but I have to find your joke funny. Otherwise, I might just block you. Again, as a man, I advise you all to be serious men, which means that you're not inclined to joking. But if you do joke, make the joke funny. Like, I got to laugh at it. If you watched yesterday, you found that there were a couple women who called in. There was one particular woman who called in and she seemed to believe she had the biggest problems on the planet Earth. She had just huge problems, problems so big it's impossible for any one human being to solve them. Well, it's also impossible for any one human being to have problems that goddamn big. She was exaggerating. Step one is do not exaggerate your problems. I assure you, they are rarely as big as you make them out to be. And most of the problems you are experiencing today will not be problems for you next year. You can look at the same date, May 8th, 2022. Look at May 8th, 2023. You won't even be able to remember the things you're calling a problem today. Do not dramatize your problems. This happens in both the male and female, unfortunately. You would hope that it would happen less in the male because he's supposed to be the leader. So do not dramatize your problems. One tip I can give you for helping you bring your problems down to earth is to write them down. And once you've written them down, you can understand them and get to work on them. And they don't seem so big. The second piece, and this one might be disheartening, especially for the females, because they like to talk. Don't talk about your problems. You might say, what? Don't talk about my problems. I go to a therapist every week and talk about my problems for hours on end every week for $200 an hour. Why are you telling me not to talk about my problems? It's all I have. Yeah, that's right. Some people, all they have are their problems. I got a family member. I'm not going to name their name, but I got a family member. Every time I talk to this family member, all they seem to talk about are their problems, other people in our family's problems. Got to be a problem. They feel like they got to solve something. They feel like they have this like superhero complex. They don't even really feel fulfilled unless they're fixing someone else's problem. They're very negative in that way. Like me, I don't want to be around problems. I don't want to hear about problems. I don't want to talk about mine. And I damn sure don't want to hear about yours. And let me give you a pro tip for your relationships. If you're a woman and you're always talking about problems, no guy really wants to be around you or hear from you, to be honest with you. If you look good, you might get away with it for a little bit, but he still don't appreciate it. If you're a guy and you're talking about your problems, you're about to be single in a jiffy, my dear boy, because women are going to perceive you as a weakling, and you probably are a weakling. And here's the funny thing, though they're supposed to be supporting you, they're supposed to be a supportive woman, when they hear your problems, they're like, this guy's weak, get me out of here, bring a real man in here, I need a strong man. I need a roughneck. So no, it's not going to help you out, no matter which gender you are. But I can assure you, if you're a male, much lower tolerance for you talking about your problems. But here's the comical piece about talking about your problems. It turns out when you talk about them, it doesn't solve them. When you talk about them, it just describes them. It makes them brighter and richer and bigger and more heavy when you talk about your problems. Because you're talking about the problem, not the solution. So let me advise you, you might write down what the problem is as a matter of fact, not a matter of emotion. And then you might get to work on it and you might even take someone's advice. You hear me? You might have a conversation with somebody about it, but you're talking through the solution. Be advised on that. And may I again remind, be a serious man, saints, for a grown man does not have much time to play with you. Even with my women, that might be a time you could observe me being jovial and joking and teasing, but even there's a limit. So don't play with yourself and don't play with grown men. Maybe play with children and play with your bitch, but don't play with me, please. It rarely goes well. Anyways, now that you've stopped talking about your problems, because number one, no one cares. Right. It's funny. Like nobody cares. Maybe your mama care. Your daddy probably don't even care. But maybe that's the one person that cares. Everybody else does not care. It's just the nature of the planet Earth and human nature. I'm sorry. Secondly, focusing on solutions brings them nearer. Number three, and this is big, and this kind of goes back to what the saint had brought up earlier. Avoid others with problems. Might sound ruthless, but here is the wisdom. When you avoid other people who have problems while you're going through problems, it allows you to stay light, which is what you need so that you can get to work. You don't need more heaviness. If you are feeling down, it's not going to help you to be around other people who are down, because birds of a feather flock together. So you should try to be around people who are feeling up, so you might acquire that feather when you most need it. So if you're around someone who says, oh, hey, man, you know what happened to me? Be like, whoa, hold that thought. I'll be back, but don't come back. Dip. Don't be around other people who are experiencing problems. Number four, only accept guidance from those who are in advance of you. This is a major issue that we would observe in this modern era. You got people who are on YouTube telling you how to be a success coach while sitting in a Toyota. Well, granted, your car is not the clearest marker of if you're wealthy, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if you're sitting in a 2005 Toyota, you're not winning. But there's so much arrogance that you got people who are not winning any more than you are, who would step out in front to be your leader. Do not take advice from those who do not have what you want. Do not take advice from those who are not on the route that you want to be on. They better be a lot more happy than you are, or a lot more successful financially, or have very rich relationships. They need to have something that you want. And it is worth interrogating them to find out if that is the case. Vices as to why this man might have met his demise. That's not good. The reason I say that is, take advice from those who are in advance of you morally, in terms of work ethic, in terms of finances, in terms of character. Well, if I drop dead right now, no one would say it's because of health, because you all know that I exercise like a madman. No one would say it's because of health. No one would say it's because of the things I'm consuming, like caffeine or Red Bull. No one would say that. No one would say it's because of intoxicants. If you heard someone say that I died from a drug overdose, you would know that's a lie. I don't even drink soda. I've never tried drugs in my whole life. So you'd know that's a lie. You need to seek advice from those who are in advance of you so that you might mirror or emulate what they are doing. And what they are doing are things that are good and beneficial to you. The reason I emphasize that is because you have so many people who want to give you advice on things they don't know about. I love my mother to death, but she even reached out to me. She said, hey, Mark, my mother calls me Mark. She said, hey, Mark, I heard your song on Instagram. And you were saying, quit banging my line, ho. She's like, I don't think that's good for your brand. You know, that's not a very positive thing. I don't know you to be a vulgar person. That's not good for your brand. Now, granted, she doesn't know me to be a vulgar person. If you have interpersonal conversation with me, I'm not going to be vulgar. That's not my nature. But in the in creative context and rap music and me expressing myself, yes, quit banging my line, ho. I got a lot of hoes banging my line. Obviously, I'm trying to express myself here. But I say that to say this. My mother has ran how many social media campaigns? Zero. How many albums has my mother put out? Zero. Does my mother have bars? Has no bars. So why is she advising me on how to push a rap music single or album or to establish a social media presence? She can only advise me from a motherly position, which she was saying, hey, I don't want you to be portrayed as vulgar because I know you're not vulgar. And that's understandable. But I cannot take her advice on this lane because she's not the money man. The money man knows about the money. So the money man's not going to be listening to you if you ain't the money man. You heard me? So I say that all that to say to you, take advice from those who know. Follow the lead of those who have fewer vices than you do. Here's a critical piece. And this is the most difficult one, especially for females. Tell the truth about your errors, meaning the mistakes that you're making, because if you cannot be honest about where you are going awry, you will never come back to the straight path. And the challenge is that you have to be honest with yourself about your own mistakes, because sometimes your friends are scared to tell you, especially if we're not confident that you can handle critical feedback. They won't tell you what your errors are. And if you're a wise person, you seek feedback, you see, because sometimes fear causes people not to speak up. Sometimes respect causes people not to speak up. Sometimes people are just unsure of if you're interested to hear a particular piece of information. For example, me having been a leader, a CEO, I know often there are things that my employees just will not tell me because I'm their boss, because I'm paying their check, or because they're trying to be polite. when I had the conference, before the conference occurred, the place that it was to be hosted, I sent in the HVAC and AC team in there to make sure that the air conditioning was excellent. They said, hey, this is a brand new unit. I said, I don't care. Inspect it like it's not brand new. I need this thing to be blowing cold as hell because we're in Las Vegas. And if we have this conference and people are hot, they're not going to learn. They're not going to be in a state of comfort and peace. And I'm going to be embarrassed. So you inspect this whole goddamn thing and you make sure that this thing blows cold. Okay. And I'm paying you to get this done. So please don't let it not get done. And the tech went through. He said, hey, as I suspected, it's a brand new unit. It is in perfect order. But I did make some adjustments to make it blow even colder. And I said, fantastic. So then he left. And then when the conference started, I went to the venue and I cranked up that AC. It was cold as hell. And I'm wearing a full business suit. I was cold as hell. Then when we went on a break, I saw people were like, damn, we were outside. People were like, damn. I was like, what, are you cold? They're like, yeah, it's cold as hell in there. I was like, oh, well, why didn't anybody say anything? And then people were like all looking at each other, like, oh, well, you know, maybe you were good. Maybe he's good. So I say that to say you have to seek feedback and you have to be willing to take feedback because sometimes it's not given to you freely. But the smartest among us can look in the mirror and see what is really there. We can see ourselves and acknowledge our errors. And that is the most brave, honest, and integrity-filled person who can do that. Understand your fear. You can only understand your fear when you've written it down and you started to identify what the steps are to correct it. The reason that you have to write it down and you have to write out its components because sometimes you don't truly understand. Like, for example, the gentleman who had sent in the baller alert earlier, he might think that his fear is getting a divorce. Well, that's just the top line. But what's underlying? Well, there's the getting the divorce part. There's the embarrassment of your family who might look at you as though you failed, embarrassment from friends, the trouble managing your children. Then, you know, is your wife going to seek any damages like alimony, things like that? Then there's housing. Where will I live now? Do I have enough savings to do this? Do I know a good attorney? So there's so many different things underlying that title of divorce or whatever the top line of fear is. And the reason you write it down is so you can actually start chopping through and understanding it. And for each layer of fear, you can create a solution or action, things that you can take to mitigate that. And then for some things, you're going to have to say, you know what? This is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. I'll just have to accept it and deal with it. Like, for example, there's a variable of will your wife seek alimony, which is to say spousal support? No, she might say out of her mouth, no, she's not going to do that, but then she might do it. And that's something that's beyond your control. You can take certain actions to prepare, but at the end of the day, you might have to just let it be what it is. So those are the major steps, and we got a couple more for you. Also, when you know that you're under stress, you're wise enough to look at the self and say, I am not in a normal state, so let me behave accordingly. One of the things I said earlier is if you're not in a normal state, you're in a stress state of challenge, and there are people around you who are also experiencing problems, this is the time to push them away, get them away, ignore them, avoid them. And that's okay, because what you're doing is you're prioritizing the self. And you must do that for self-preservation. And that's in line with the three-sentence Bible. Be yourself, be good to yourself, be good to good people. It's great to be good to good people, but you got to be good to yourself first. Because if there's none of you left, there's nothing to give. So you must be good to yourself first. So if you're realizing you're under stress, don't engage other people who are also under stress. Secondly, you must dramatically either reduce your load or increase your load. You're like, whoa, Quet, that doesn't make sense. It does, though. Check this out. Paradoxically, if you're under stress, you need more freedom, more free time, more, you know, less on your mind. So you're going to reduce your load. You might reduce your hours at work. You might reduce your course load in university. You might reduce your hobbies. You might step down off of the PTA. You might step out of the HOA Housing Association leadership position. you're going to reduce your responsibilities so you can deal with your basics, i.e. your mental health and whatever your most pressing challenges. Reduce your load. Oppositely, sometimes you're dealing with stress, but you really need a big change in life. You need to get your engine started. So I might say, dang, okay, I'm having some challenges with X, Y, and Z on the financial side. A lot of you guys are experiencing financial problems. That's why I use that as an example. You're having this challenge on the financial side. I might say, you know what? This is a good time for me to sign up for a boxing match. Why not? Sign up for a boxing match. Now I'm in the gym every single day. I'm training intensely. I have a good focus. I feel like I'm making progress. And guess what? Those good feelings of making progress on something unrelated is going to give me happiness and positivity. And guess what? That's a fuel. That's a fuel I can use over here. I can transmute. I can take that energy and apply it to this challenge and help me chop down this challenge because my success in this other area is making me feel good about what I can do in this area, or it's taking my mind off of this challenge area. Huh? But you have to make a drastic change. So you should be asking yourself, what am I going to let go of? Because you can't do everything. And you should never try to do everything. And then the last piece is continue talking like Muhammad Ali, dressing like Muammar Gaddafi, and spitting game like Marquette Devon Burton, which is to say, no matter what challenge you are going through, talk your talk, poke your chest out, and continue engaging the game as though you know how to play the game. Do not have doubt. Do not let fear wear you down into a small little creature. Continue playing with confidence. Six Sounds writes, is working a 9-to-5 counterproductive to goals? It depends. One thing I never want to lead you to is the false idea that everyone is going to be a boss. You know, every tribe must have Indians. Not everyone can be the chief. And more importantly, if you know yourself, you'll know that not everyone even likes being a boss. For example, I know one young lady who is an independent contractor, and she is very good at her job. And I told her, I said, hey, you know, you're billing about $1.5 million a year, and you're only retaining 30% of what you're billing. So if you were to work for yourself, you can retain all of this $1.5 million and we could set up a proper legal entity so that your tax burden would be even lower than it is now as an independent contractor. And you would be a millionaire based on the, you wouldn't even have to work significantly harder, but you'd be a millionaire. And the young lady said to me, yes, that's true. But then I would have to have an accountant, and then I would have to have a bookkeeper, and then I would have to have a lawyer, and then I would have to do this, and I'd have to talk to that person, I'd have to manage this, and I don't want to do any of that. I just want to do my job in sales. I just want to sell stuff and then get a check at the end of the 2 weeks. That's what I like to do. And you know what? For her, she's right. All those other things cause her anxiousness, and it's not something she's interested in doing. So for her, a 9-to-5 is very much so in line with her comfort and her goals and what she wants out of life, because her greater goal is marriage and family. The 9-to-5 is just something that keeps her busy when she's not doing marriage and family. So it makes sense. So no, 9-to-5 is not counterproductive to goals. In fact, some people's goal is to get a great 9-to-5. Joshua writes, peace to the saints, peace to the saints. Damien writes, just showing support real quick, have to get back to studying. Indeed. May we all do some amount of studying today, whether we're in university or not. Edwin writes, 30-minute exercise, including cardio. Every exercise session should include cardio, and it's not quite a 30-minute session. It's 30 minutes of sweating, however long it takes you to start sweating. You see, if you got to work out an hour to start sweating for 30 minutes, then it's an hour and a half workout. It's 30 minutes of sweat. Johnny writes, Marquette's always spitting bars. Peace to the saints. Peace to the saints. Give you some time to send in your last thoughts, questions, comments. Kevin comes in via Cash App. He writes, peace to the saints, tuition, and finally able to catch alive. I know it's been a little while since I've seen you. Leo writes, tuition. Malik sends in tuition for Malik Rose. Appreciate it. Cloud Elite just came in with tuition via Cash App. Peace to the saints who are running businesses, you dig, and also trying to maximize and take their business to the next level. It's all about step by step. You don't have to conquer the world in a day. Montrell writes, I have a lot of love for you, Saint, even though I have never met you. You truly want to see others become the best versions of themselves, and that makes you a true leader. I am very grateful for your work. Peace to the saints. Montrell, that means a lot to me. I really do appreciate that because that is the core of what makes me take out the time to speak on live sessions, what makes me take out the time to work with people on products. That is what drives me to do conferences and to introduce the saints to one another. So I really do appreciate that acknowledgement. It does mean a lot. Well, Saints, it has been truly a pleasure to speak on this topic with you. I hope that you're able to take some of these lessons and apply them today and remember these lessons when you're in times of challenge, because that's when you'll need them most. BK Standard writes, my bro is 50, divorced, and works a retail job. Do you think it's too late for him to start a new career? Absolutely not. I mean, Kevin Samuels is a good example of that. I want to say that he didn't really become successful until he was like 50. I don't know his story like super well, but I do believe that was the case. He didn't really become successful until he was like 50. He was working like a perfume counter at Macy's, and he was doing his YouTube thing. It wasn't really popping off. And then eventually it just like exploded. And I want to say he was in his early 50s when that occurred. So it's definitely not too late. I would encourage him to carry on. And if you want to look at a more well-known example, if you look at Ray Kroc, the guy who popularized McDonald's Corporation, he too started later in life. So never count yourself out. You know, even if you said your brother was 80 years old, I would say carry on. You know, what else is he going to do? Like lay down and die? Malik writes, sent my first tuition through Cash App. Just wanted to let you know you've helped me on my path toward a proper gentleman. And I already knew the ism in small parts, but you've helped me really lock in. I appreciate that. And you know, that's all we're really doing is giving you reminders of best practices. Oftentimes, you know the answer. And in the instances in which it's not clear, we're hoping that you know, we can supplement that knowledge. And that's why we're really formalizing it and writing it down. So we have goalposts as a man and as a woman so that you know that you're making appropriate progress toward living a greater life. Simeon is right. Go ahead, like that video. Because this is the kind of video, it might not make you die laughing. It might not go viral because we're bashing anyone. But these are the ones that will help lift you up on a day that you feel a little bit beaten down. I want to close with this little note from yesterday. This is something that often happens when people play psychological tricks on themselves. It usually happens more often to females. And it's the idea that you start taking on the problems of a greater group, problems that are not your own. So you heard a woman on the live yesterday, and she was saying, you know, I just can't believe that Kevin Samuels kept talking about black women in this way. Well, if he was talking about black women collectively, what's that got to do with you? Nothing. So it's like, why are you searching out problems? So what I'm reminding you of is don't search out problems. Not every problem is yours. In fact, you should try to avoid problems. You know, opposite of searching them out, you should try to avoid them. And what that woman was doing is she was searching out problems. And that's a wrong thing to do. The second wrong thing she was doing is she was hyper-focused on problems at the expense of being able to focus on solutions. You should really be solution oriented and think and speak positivity, and you'll find that more people will attract to you. When you're speaking negativity, you might not notice because you're so wrapped up in your own world, but people will distance themselves, especially high quality people. If you find people don't mind being around you when you're negative, those are probably low people, lower class people, low achieving people, low IQ people. But people who are worthwhile will distance themselves from you because nobody wants to be around that bad energy. We're trying to win out here. Elias comes in via PayPal, sends in tuition. Peace to the saints, much appreciated. God sends Samuels. If you are Elias on PayPal, it's not showing your memo. So would you mind typing it into the chat there? And then we can pop that up on screen for you. In the meantime, may I acknowledge Smokes 11. He writes, "Hey, Marquette, I'm taking measurements for myself to buy a Saint and Sinner denim jacket, but my chest came out to 37 inches, which is not on the size list. Am I measuring it wrong?" I don't know. Tell me this, Saint. What is your height? I'll tell you, my height is approximately 183 centimeters or 6 foot. I prefer wearing size large in the Saint and the Sinner denim jacket. I wear size large. I know there are probably people in the chat who have also purchased it. So if you have any notes that you want to share with them to help them size appropriately, but I wear a size large and I'm 6 foot. And I purchased both the white denim and the black denim, and they cold. So you say my height is 172 centimeters. So let me go ahead and convert that real quick. It's 172 centimeters. It's coming out to 5'6". If I were you, I would go for the medium. Yes, I'd go for the medium or the small. I'm going to go ahead and presume medium, you know, if you're a fair build. Godson Samuels writes, "So I could get a job as soon as possible. The problem is that before my dad told me that, I'd never worked 10 hours a day in front of a computer, and I'm having trouble staying focused. Also, everybody else is telling me to start out small with 1 to 2 hours a day, but I can't do that with my small time window. Any tips on how I can push through this?" That's a great question. Number one, 10 hours a day on a computer is too long. I don't care who you are, what the job is. It's just too long, generally speaking. The only people I know who have been able to successfully do that are people working in startups. They're one of the founders. They're highly passionate about the idea and their position to make millions of dollars on it. In the absence of that, you're going to have a lot of trouble working 10 hours a day on a computer. It's very boring. Even for someone like me who's made my living on computers, working more than 10 hours a day for maybe like the last 13 years. So I say that to say this. Number one, surely you can get up to 8 hours on the computer, and there's no better way to get good at something than practicing. But also, let us be conscious of who you really are. If you find that this is not something you like to do, then you should probably start looking into professions that are more in line with what you are able to do, professions that still earn well, whether it's welding or mortuary science, maybe something that's more tactile or hands-on. Like me, before I started working, I was still on computers for 8 hours a day because I was doing computer-related tasks that were of interest to me. So I think if all of a sudden you have to do 8 hours of computer and you've gone a whole lifetime of 18, 19, 20 years and you've not spent significant time on the computer, then this might not be appropriate for you. Derek writes, "Peace of the Saints. Quick question. I own a luxury car detailing business and usually pull up on clients in a RCF or Mercedes. I'm finding women are really touchy-feely. I'm about business. How do I stay focused?" Well, you stay focused by staying focused. One thing I will remind you is that intergender affection is definitely one of the most powerful tools. In fact, I'm going to and check this out. It's ironic you mentioned that. I don't know if you're able to see this, but I'm going to give this to one of the artists who's a member to make this into a piece of art. So we'll give a couple people the option, but it says sources of power, and the top source is a woman's love, if you're not able to see that. And what I mean is a woman's love is one of the most powerful forces, more than money, more than a man's respect, and more than fame. If a woman loves you or has significant affection for you, you can get her to do virtually anything. And I say that to say, if these women have interest in you, then you know, these are the type of women who will be repeat clients. They'll give you referrals. They'll be easy to upsell. So, you know, keep it business and keep your eyes focused on the prize, but don't dishearten the women. You know, just channel that affection into the appropriate ends. Let us end with our tradition, the Creed of the Assassin. Repeat after me with full conviction, knowing this is true of you. The Creed of the Assassin. I am going to be who I truly am. because I am remarkable and I am going to strive every moment to show the greatest part of who I am. Until next time, peace to the saints.